Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch, and we are on 1 Kings, the text for today. It's a very famous text. It's part of it. If you'll notice, the pericopes tend to divide this text up, and actually occurs a couple of times depending on which series you're in. So we're at 1 Kings chapter 19, of course, the story of Elijah when his ministry has gotten the better of him, and he's had enough, and so he's actually fleeing, he wants a face-to-face meeting with God. And we pick it up in verse 9, actually. And so just remember that the subject of the verbs is actually Elijah at this point, and then things will become clear as we go on. So I'm going to start with verse 9. Vayavo sham el ha-ma'arava yalen sham. And he went there, or he came there. That's from Bo, not a simple call. In third masculine singular, vav consecutive, to Hamera, the cave. Now notice this is kind of an unusual use of the article. Remember the article, the usage of the article in Hebrew does not necessarily match that of the English. So where you might have an article in Hebrew, not necessarily in English and vice versa, the cave has not been mentioned previously in the text, but it refers to kind of a unique something that is in the mind of the author, but not necessarily pointing to something else in the text. So you might want to translate it, and some translations do. He came to a certain cave. Okay, Vayalen Sham. Vayalen, notice, is another call from lean, a hollow verb, and it means to spend the night. All right, so he spent the night Sham, there. Vehine devar Yahweh Elav. Now this is interesting. Notice that Vehine usually signals physical perception, most often sight, something you visibly see, and also sometimes hearing, as you'll see later in this text. And so notice that it describes here and in the next clause the Devar Yahweh almost as a hypostasis of Yahweh. It's kind of very interesting. So, Vehine, look, the word of the Lord, and you have to supply the word Hayah, came Elav, the word of the Lord came to him. Vayomer lo. Now notice the subject here is the Devar Yahweh. And he said lo to him. Ma'aleka po Eliyahu. What to you here, Elijah? In other words, what are you doing here, Elijah? Or what is there for you here, Elijah? However you want to translate it, as sarcastic as you might want to make it. All right. I don't know how sarcastic it's supposed to be, but I think so.
God is sarcastic.
Yeah, that's right. And now here's Elijah's famous complaint. Vayomer. Kano kineti ladana Elohetza va'ot ki atzvu beriteka b'nei Yisrael. And he said, Kano kineti. Kana, to be jealous or to be zealous. Notice that the first form is the infinitive absolute. P-A-L, infinitive absolute, followed by the finite verb of the same root and conjugation. So that would be a P-A-L perfect. That's normally how these function, remember. Now, the function of the infinitive absolute can be either one of two things, and I'm not sure what it is in this case. It can either be that he is strongly confirming his commitment to the truth of this. I certainly have been zealous. Or it could be strengthening the idea of the main verb. I have been extremely zealous. See? And so different contexts kind of sway me in certain ways, so I'm still trying to figure that out. And I don't know which one it is here. It's normally translated the second way. I have been very zealous. Alright? For the Lord, the God of Zebaoth, the God of armies or hosts. Kiasu beriteka. But they have forsaken your covenant, the children of Israel. So notice the children of Israel is the subject of Azvu. The children of Israel has forsaken your covenant. Okay, now watch the word order here, because he switches, puts the objects before the verb, he fronts them, and so in reading it, if you were speaking it, you would probably put a little extra emphasis on those words. So notice how he goes from here. Et mitzbet bechoteka harasu ve'et nevieka hargu bacharet. Your altars, Mizbeach, your altars harasu, they have torn down. Okay? And your prophets, they have killed with the sword. Notice those are simple call verbs, third masculine, plural. Va'ivater ani levadi. Okay, now notice this is very interesting. Va'ivater. Notice the root is from yatar, and it is a nifal imperfect vav consecutive. And notice the original vav comes back as a kind of a full consonant with its own vowel underneath. And I am left. Yatar means to be left over, to remain. And I am left. Now notice the emphasis with the extra superfluous pronoun. Ani, I, levadi, I, me alone. Okay? So I am left, me alone. Vayevak shu es nafshi. And they seek my soul. Notice that this is a PL from Bakash. There's no dagish that usually doubles it in the kaf because certain letters in certain words do not take the dagish. The Skaman Levi letters, the Samek, Kaf, Mem, Nun, Vav, Lamed, Yud, very often don't take those. So here you don't have it here, but it's still a PL. They seek nafshi, my life, lekachta, to take it. Notice that this is an infinitive construct from lakach. And notice without the lamed, the form would be kachak. And here you have the lamed attached of purpose, in order to take it. Alright? Verse 11. Vayomer, here's God speaking now. Vayomer. Zay, if I had Gibbs' voice, I could be a good God, but I cannot. Jeremiah's even better. Ozzy Hoffman had the best. Vayomer, Zay ve'amadta bahar lifne Yahweh. Okay. And he said, go. Here's a simple call imperative masculine singular from Yatza. Remember the yud drops out. And he said, go ve'amadta, and stand. Very often following an imperative, you have a vav plus a perfect second masculine singular. You see it a lot. Moses speaks like this in Deuteronomy. Jeremiah does it a lot. I don't know if there's any semantic difference. One scholar has looked at these strings of imperatives and finds them all occurring in similar environments and hesitates to make a distinction between this form and two imperatives together. Continue to look at that. But anyway, go and stand, Bahar, on the mountain, Lifnei Yahweh, before the Lord. I want to notice what happens next here with this phrase. Ve'hine Yahweh over, ve'ruach gedola ve'chazak, okay, etc. Some translations suggest that with the ve'hine, and I don't agree with this, Yahweh is still talking. So they would translate it like this. Go and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for look, Yahweh is going to pass over. Alright? But notice the Masoretes have a little accent there, disjunctive, that suggests that perhaps God's speech actually ends after Yahweh, and the narrator comes in with the Vetine. Okay? So that you would translate, and he said, go and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Okay, now the narrator comes in, and look, Yahweh over was passing over. Okay, and now what follows is a more specific description of what that was like. Okay, and the translations are kind of split that way. When you look in different translations, some do the former, some do the latter. Okay. So now then, it would be veruach. Now a ruach gedola vechazak. Now a wind great and chazak, great and strong, was meparaking harim, was tearing at the mountains. Meparek is a PL participle from parak. Okay, masculine singular. So a great and strong wind was tearing harim, the mountains. It's tearing mountains. Umeshaber set la'im. And shattering, again a PL participle, meshaber, was shattering rocks lifnei Yahweh, before Yahweh. And now notice how kind of terse he is. Lo baruch Yahweh. Not in the ruach, not in the wind, Yahweh was Yahweh. V'achar haruach ra'ash, and after the wind a ra'ash, an earthquake. Okay, lo ba'ra'ash Yahweh, not in the earthquake Yahweh. Verse 12. V'achar haraash eish, and after the earthquake an eish, a fire. Okay, see, notice it's so nice. You don't have any verbs to parse here, guys. Lo ba'esh Yahweh, not in the fire Yahweh. V'achar ha'esh, now here it comes. And after the fire, here's the famous words. Kol demamadaka. and after the fire, a coal, neither sound or voice. Demama is from the root damam, which means to be silent. So a voice, silence. Now you have this daka, which is means thin. Okay, thin silence. So, you know, what in exactly is he referring to? What does it mean? You will see a number of different ways to translate this. Thin silence. I think the Septuagint says uses it aura, a breeze and a phoné. Aura kai phoné, a breeze and a voice.
So these are nouns.
Yes, demama. Daka is the adjective.
Okay.
So it actually is modifying demama. Mm-hmm. Silence thin. So a sound. So it could be a sound of thin silence. A sound of thin silence is probably what it is. But see, it's mysterious because this whole thing becomes mysterious here. That's why I like it. It's like, what in the world? Well, you know, when God's talking, you ought to be a little mysterious. So it is. Yeah. Verse 13. Vayahi kishmo Eliyahu. Now it came to pass. Now notice this. How this is a nice way that Hebrew generally does temporal clauses. You have the shemo, which is a call infinitive construct, preceded by a kaf, more often by a bait. All right. So you could, and sometimes some grammarians suggest that this would be translated like this. Now it came to pass as soon as Eliyahu heard, and we're assuming, notice it doesn't fill out, heard the kol demama daka. Okay, but it doesn't say that. It just says, as soon as Eliyahu heard, Vayalat panav be'adarto, he wrapped his face in his mantle. Vayalat is, again, from a hollow verb. It's not very common. Lut, it occurs a few times in the call as a passive participle, wrapped up, something wrapped up. Here's a hip feel, imperfect vav consecutive. You don't need to make a vocab card for this one because you're not going to find it in very many places. Don't worry about it. He wrapped his face, adarto, in his mantle. Va yetze, and he went out from Yatsa, va ya'amod, and he stood petacha me'ara, at the opening of the cave, at the door of the cave, so to speak. Notice that in typical Hebrew style, you sometimes have a accusative case noun, which we would say this, there's no preposition there, in other words, and it's kind of an adjunct here, you know, has this function. Okay, so in English, you'd almost have to say at the door of the cave or in the door of the cave. Okay, now here you have the author again interjecting the narrator. Vehine elav kol, and look to him a voice. Okay, and you probably have to add the word hayat again. And look, a voice came to him. Vayomer. And it said, Maaleka po Eliyahu. What are you doing here, Elijah? Okay. Vayomer. Here comes the complaint. We can go through this very easy. You know, when you're grievous, you're not very creative, so you just say the same thing. Vayomer kano. Kineti ladana Elohei Tzevaot. Ki atzvu beri teka b'nei Yisrael et mizbechoteka harasu. Ve'et neviyaka haru bahar chareb va'iva terani levadi va'iva akshu et nafshi lekhachta. And they said, and he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, but they have forsaken your covenant, namely the children of Israel. Your altars they have torn down, and your prophets they have killed with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it. Man. Okay, here's Yahweh. Great response here. He does not exactly comfort Elijah. Vayomer Yahweh Elav. Then Yahweh said to him, Lekshuv led darkeka midbara damashek. Lake, notice that that's a call imperative from Halak. Again, shuv, another imperative. Notice here you have two imperatives in a row, whereas before God had Zeva Amata. So notice you have kind of a different stylistic feature here. Go, return to your way. Midbara, to the desert. Okay, notice that locative hay at the end of midbar. If you take the hay off, it looks like a very familiar word to you. The hay makes it look strange, but it's not. Go on your way to the desert of Damascus, to Damascus, of the desert to the desert of Damascus. Okay? Uvata u mashachta el Chazael lamelech al Aram. Now notice he reverts back. He uses the vav plus perfects for the imperative. Okay? And go and anoint, mashach, go and anoint Chazael as king over Aram. Verse 16, Ve'et Yehu, and Jehu, son of Nimshi, Timshah, you should anoint, okay, again a call imperfect, you should anoint as king over Israel. Okay, Ve'et Elisha, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, may Avel Mechola, from Avel Mechola, Timshah, you should anoint, let Navi as prophet Tahteka in your place. I wonder if that's good or bad. I don't know. I wonder how he took that. Vehaya ha nimlat mecherav chazael yamit Yehu. Now it will come to pass that the one who escapes, that's a nimlat, notice that that's a nifal participle, a masculine singular, the root is malat, used as a substantive. The one who escapes from the sword of Chazael, yamit Yehu. Jehu will kill Yamit, a Hiphil from Mut. Okay, Beha Nimlat, and the one who escapes may care of Jehu from the sword of Jehu. Elisha Yamit will kill. Okay, Ve Hisharti, and I will leave. Notice that this is a Hiphil from Sha'ar, and I will leave Be Yisrael in Israel. Shivata Alafim, 7,000. Kol Hab Birkaim. All the knees, that's from knees, Barak, all the knees, asher lo karhu, which have not bowed down to Baal, the kol hapeh, and every mouth which lo nashak lo, which has not kissed him. Okay? Vayelik misham, so he went from there, vayimsa, and he found Elisha ben Shaphat, and he, choresh, was plowing. Notice that when you want to say, have two actions, one happening while the other one is happening. This is very common to use the participle like this. So you would translate it, and he found Elisha, son of Shaphat, while he was plowing. Okay? Shene Masar, 12 Zemadim, 12 yoke were before him, and he was on the Shene Ha Asar. He was on the 12th. Notice that after the numeral 10, you simply use cardinals for ordinals. So you would say, he was on the 12th. Vayavor Eliyahu, and Elijah passed over, I guess passed over the fields, Elah, to him. Vayashleik, and he threw from Shalak, Hiphil, and he threw Adarto, his mantle, Elah, to him. Okay, Vayazo, then he left, namely Elisha, et Habakar, the cattle, the oxen. Vayarats, and he ran from roots, Achar Eliyahu, after Eliyahu. And he said, Eshkana, please let me kiss. This is from Nashak, a call cohortative. Let me please kiss Lavi, my father, who let me, and my mother. Ve'elka, and I will come achareka after you. This is from Halak, okay, another cohortative form. Vayomer lo, and he said to him, Lekshu, go return, ki me asiti lot, for what have I done to you? So Vayasha, this is from Shu, so he returned from after him, Vayikach, and he took et Zemed, the yoke of the Bakar of oxen, Vayizbachehu, and he slaughtered it, Zavach. Okay? And Bikli HaBakar, and with the vessel of the cattle, this, he's referring to the yoke, the wooden yoke, and with that, Bishlam, he boiled them from Bashal, and notice there's a third masculine plural suffix, and then the Habasar simply specifies. He boiled them, that is Habasar, the flesh. Okay? Vayitain La'am, and he gave to the people, Vayo Kelu, and they ate, they had a going away party. Vayakom, and then he rose from Kum. Vayelek, and he went after Eliyahu, after Elijah. Vayeshar, Vayeshartehu, and he served him. This is a piel from Sharat. All right. third masculine singular suffix at the end. All right, now I only have about a minute here, but the thinking of a direction for the sermon, I think that the interesting thing that you can maybe talk about is, especially happens in, of course, that great scene in verses 11 and 12 and 13 here. The narrator makes a specific point of saying that God wasn't in all these great acts that you see. You know, it's kind of funny. But at the still small voice, it's King James translation, can't get out of my head. He was there. So notice that God, and this is kind of Elijah's issue as well, the bigger issue is that God was not acting how God was supposed to act with him. See, because remember the previous chapter, he had this great victory on Mount Carmel. And he had slain the prophets of Baal. And, you know, he had them, you know, God's kingdom here seemed to be, boom, here it comes. The next thing you know, Jezebel's after him. He's running for his life. Well, what kind of ministry is that? See, what is God doing? Has God forsaken him? So you come here, and here you have God not having to explain himself, see. He basically, if you want to give significance to this verses 11 and 12, he's kind of, you could possibly say, hey, look, God, you find God where you least expect him, see. And so then what does he tell Elijah to do? Kind of just get on with your ministry. So to us it seems harsh. God should defend himself or comfort Elijah. But he doesn't do any of that. And so notice that it really drives us to be kind of theologians of the cross. And that's kind of what you would want to do to your people here, I think, with a text like this. It gives you a lot of opportunities. I mean, you see this pattern, too, with the way God dealt with Job at the end of the book of Job as well. And then even Jesus, when remember that in Luke, Jeff, if I'm remembering right, the disciples say, strengthen our faith, and then, you know, and then God doesn't, He kind of does the opposite, and then he says to them, which of you would have a servant, and the servant would come in, and you would feed him before the servant does what he's supposed to do? So he kind of does the same kind of thing to the disciples, as you see this narration doing here. So that's why this is such a great text for preaching and for thinking about what it means to be a theologian of the cross and the kind of God we have, so that now the still small voice against that background is a vivid way now to talk about the wisdom that looks like foolishness in the cross of Christ. So to speak. So.